All right. Let's get going today. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I am Daniel Odle, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are the other members of the BZA. At the tables across the room, here to my right, are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table that's near the entry door. Pursuant to the BZA administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, a motion and then second motion, discussion among board members, and then finally a vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules apply. Each person may speak for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow 2 minutes, an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have previously been presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium here up front and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decisions by the BZA are made to Knoxville City Council. Petition for such an appeal shall be filed with Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. Burke to call the roll.
Daniel Odle.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
Don Horton.
Here.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum to get us going here today. I need to ask if we could review and affirm the meeting minutes from last month.
So moved.
A motion to approve last month's meetings from October.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Meeting minutes from last month are approved. And then first up this month will be some what's marked as new business. I is this not old business from last month, Ms. Burke?
It was originally planned to be heard, but it was pulled before it was brought to the board.
Okay, sure. Okay, 10B21BA, 210 Stratford Road. If you're here, please step up to the microphone here in the front. No one's getting up. Okay. Let's see here. This is our fence that we started to look at last month. Just to confirm, Ms. Burke, I thought we had made a motion to postpone for 30 days on this last month. Did we?
No, Ms. Dollar asked it to be rescheduled before it came to
before we made a motion? Okay.
Daniel, I'll make a motion. We postpone item 10-B-21-VA for 30 days or till next month's meeting.
Motion. I'll make a second on that motion. Any further discussion? None. All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. So 10-B-21-VA postponed to the December 2021 meeting. And now on to our other new business of the day, 11A21VA, that's Chris Davis on 710 Forest Heights Road. If you could step up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, please.
It's Chris Davis, 710 Forest Heights.
All right, thank you, Chris. Before you tell us about your variance request, I just want to confirm, are there any further comments from the city? Yes, there are.
Yeah, I think that it's important to understand a bit of the background here and how we got here, because the first item is an appeal of my determination. There was work that was taking place. The engineering issued a stop work order for, at that point when the engineers went out to take a look, there was, I believe, both of the entrances installed, as well as the bulk of the gravel installed. They reached out to the city on the 9th of September, and I believe they were given, a set of plans were returned by the landscape architect on the 8th of September. This landscape architect submitted for two different projects, so the reviewer got them confused, gave the go-ahead, the green light for this project, thinking it was for the other project. That reviewer was out sick, but the following Monday, so gave the green light on a Wednesday. So on Monday, reached back out and said, my mistake, I had the project switched. So there was that number of days where additional work was taking place. Then it was brought to my department to figure out how can we get this project in front of this board. The only way, as we reviewed the code, the only way to get it before you was to call what you see in front of you on the screen a circular driveway. Now that is not by our policy what we would consider a circular driveway, because based out of the code, circular driveways are only permitted on wide lots, and the pictures within the code support that and show that the driveways exit and return to the same street versus on a corner lot. But we had to call it a corner lot, or we had to call it a circular drive in order for you to hear the upcoming variance requests. Because we had to get creative in getting this before you, whether you overturn me or not, we're not going to change our policy moving forward. So I want that to be clear so that we don't, the specific circumstances of this case are not going to allow basically every corner lot to have a circular driveway going from one street to the next. We only did that in this situation because the work was done and we felt that this homeowner had the right to be heard by this board. That makes sense?
Yes. Makes sense to me. I'll have some questions, and I'm assuming that we will as well, but maybe we hold those questions until we go ahead and take our next step.
Hold on a quick sec. I was going to walk through those variances.
Okay.
So the first one, that slide right there, this is item number one on the list, is that this, you would be considering this a circular drive. So can you go to the next slide? This is the second item that's being heard, is the minimum distance between a drive and the intersecting street. The next item is this distance from the drive to the intersecting street. Those are both shorter distances than the code permits. So those items 2 and 3 are the variance requests on the list. Next slide. There you go. This is item number 4. This minimum width, this minimum width is less than what is required for a circular drive. Circular drives are only permitted with 100 linear feet of frontage, and this is item number 4. Item number 5 is the maximum distance that the code allows on narrower lots less than 75 feet, to have a driveway in front of the house. But it has to be within 10 feet of the side property line. This item number 5 shows that increased distance from 10 feet up to, it's 29, yes. Next slide. This is number 6 on the list. The code allows branch type turnarounds. only one of them per driveway. So this variance request is to increase the number of branch type turnarounds from one to two. That's why you see that number six on both sides. Next slide. Now, number seven on your list and number eight are increasing the maximum size of those branch type turnarounds. The code allows 200 square feet. Item number seven increases that 200 square feet to 630. And number eight increases that 200 square feet to 350. So we had to get very creative to get these specific variances before you. But we feel that I'm speaking for engineering, based on the roads in place, there was not a concern, there was not a safety concern for the distances in relation to the intersection. And we do feel confident that if you see fit to grant these, it will, the code will be upheld with these variances. We feel it's accurate, what I'm getting at.
Okay.
I'm sorry, board members. We've had a member of the public state that they are unable to hear you all at all times. So if you can please make sure to lean forward into the mic when you're speaking the entire time.
We can.
And I'm happy to answer any questions. I know that was a lot.
Right. Yeah, it is. I think for a process, we're just going to hold our questions until we get into this further. Chris, if you could tell us about your variance request and the nature of your hardship.
Okay. We bought this house a year ago in November, and the intention of buying this house was always to make a home for my mother. She is elderly and she doesn't get around really well, and I wanted a house for her. I'm going to be her primary caretaker. This house is the top of the hill above my office. I work in Homburg, so I can be home in a minute if I need to be to help her or assist her. My sister's children also goes to Webb, so she can come by and check on my mother all the time as well. We remodeled this entire house to make it serviceable for her. It was always my intention to do a driveway in the front. There was no parking in the front. There's parking on the side that a former owner had created on Bowling, but there's a fire hydrant there, and it is literally the ditch that the city created to drain the water off of Bowling. We're at the top of a hill. The driveway or the yard, the front yard, had a dip in it that collected water and soured. When we were under construction, I would walk across the yard and I would literally be like ankle deep in water. But the only other parking is in the back of the house, which is, if you can see, if we have a topography map of the property or not, it is extremely steep. There is a little driveway that hugs a really old tree that Cortese says is estimated about 250 years old. It's actually killing the tree. And there's a little tiny supporting wall for it that if you hook your tire on it, you are going down the hill. And no one except me can back in and out of that driveway in my family. So they will always stop at the very beginning of it. But even that being said, if I had to force my mother to park there, it is more than a 50-yard walk to the front door. She's not able to do that. The backyard, the back driveway is a whole story below the front entrance of the house, so she'd have to go up a whole flight of stairs to get into the house. The first neighbor I met, actually, besides my next-door neighbor, was actually Sarah back here. And I'd explained to her what we were doing at the very beginning of this. When we actually started grading the yard, there was some concern expressed, and the neighborhood association reached out to me about it, and I answered all their questions. I told them I would send them all the plans. If anybody in the neighborhood had any questions or issues about it, to please let me know. I asked Amy Hathaway, told Amy Hathaway she didn't have to fill out the questions, that people could contact me directly. I offered her my email, my phone number. I told them all to knock on my door if they had any questions about it. No one said anything. So we progressed with work. We did file for a permit. After we started work, I did not realize we had to have a permit for this. I just considered it landscaping. Because the whole center of that is pea gravel. The only hardscape is that little entrance at the front. The side entrance on DeVoe is not even started. When we were told we had a permit, they actually started doing the pavers on top of the concrete and mortared them in. So when we were told we didn't have a permit anymore, that work was done. This is not uncommon in Knoxville. There are lots of houses in Sequoia Hills who have this exact same driveway. One of them is the Baileys, who you have a picture of their house. It's on Scenic Drive. They actually used to live right past the gate behind my house. The Baileys is on down. Actually, that was it, I think. That's their an aerial view of their driveway on Scenic. They didn't have a spatial issue the way we did. They own like four lots there. And that's one of the most prestigious homes in Knoxville. That garden, they've hosted huge charity events there. It's like the toast of all of Sequoia Hills. So it's a Georgian house like mine, or colonial Georgian. Anyway, our parking situation is not unusual in our neighborhood. The neighborhood's very old. The lots are very narrow. There are six houses on Ridgeway alone, which is across the street from us, that have front parking pads. I would have done a front parking pad, but if I was to do that, I would literally have to back into Ridgeway. And we're at the very top of the hill, which is a blind hill. So this is the safest. That's one of the parking pads. That's two doors down from me. Mm-hmm. It is the entire width of that yard.
You're up on 5 minutes, just so you know. We have 5 minutes. It's okay. But I don't want to give you the chance to finish. So,
I'm just saying it's not inconsistent. That's the Baileys house.
Sure.
For the neighborhood, to have cars in the front. If we were to do a circular drive, people would be parking in the top of the circle at the front door. The way this is designed, the cars are actually off to the side, which is what the codes kind of recommends, to have the cars to the side of the main entrance of the house. It's just that there will be gravel there, and it's decorative gravel. So it's very pretty. It's very European.
Sure.
And we've invested a great deal of money in this house, and we have already doubled the value of the house. So we're raising everybody's property values by doing this. And, you know, we're using one of the most prestigious landscape architects in Knoxville to do the work. So I appreciate being heard.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna take this in order of just, because I understand we've got some here to speak for this and some against. And
sure.
So what I'd like to do is do those that are for it in order, and then those that are against it in order.
Okay.
For us to be able to make some progress today.
Sure.
I do have one question for you before I ask you to sit down for a second. But why the need for a second drive? You've got a parking court sort of set up. What's your reason for the need for the driveway goes off the side?
Actually, the second entrance was not in the original plan. When I asked Amy Midas, how she would solve this problem, she emailed me back. And I think that's actually part of the presentation, is her email back was to do this, to have it exit onto Bowling.
Okay, so it was just design.
Yeah, we were just trying to accommodate the neighborhood.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I got you. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Who else has signed up to speak in favor of? We don't care who comes first, so if one of you want to flip forward or come on up. State your name and address for the record, please.
My name is David Payne. I'm with SWH Landscape Architects here in Knoxville. Address is 2110 Keller Bend.
Sure.
And I don't want to thank you for letting me speak. I don't want to re-go over ground that we kind of jumped around a little bit on the presentation, but we have been involved in designs. This is appropriate for this type of historic home. This is a historic courtyard, as you would find, that would enhance the appeal of any residence. It's a beautiful home, and if you could go back to the first slide, that would kind of help me through this process. The one with the down to the residence. I guess I'd start off, right there, by saying that this particular type of a courtyard is appropriate for this house. And that was one of the comments that we wanted to make sure that we addressed. We believe the improvements that are suggested along with landscaping are going to be aesthetically pleasing and make everyone in the neighborhood proud, increase property values. Unfortunately, the project was kind of stopped right after the first and most ugliest part of any kind of design project when you're beginning. The landscaping has yet to go in, so that would help a little bit. But if you could go to the next slide, and I just wanted to briefly touch upon, if you would go, there's an existing historic tree growing in gravel. Part of the reason we elected to go with gravel was to assist the 250-year-old tree to the property line. We tried to move the drive as far away from the tree as we could, and at some point it made sense to center it on the front of the residence. And that's how the location of the entry drive off of Forest Heights found its place. Using gravel helps water penetrate the soil. It also allows some air to get to the roots of the trees. We believe an impervious type surface would prevent nutrients and water. So again, we wanted to go with gravel to assist the tree long-term. And if you would mind moving to the next slide. And again, I apologize, some of the stuff has been brought up before, but again, there's an under drainage system under the gravel that was installed so that any drainage will be captured on site within the French drain system under the gravel. And again, we were involved in the Victor Ash residence on Kingston Pike, where we have used a mortar court and this type of gravel courtyard design previously, and it's been approved by the city of Knoxville. So we, I guess, at some level feel like what we've done is consistent with what's been done in the past, as well as if we could go to the neighborhood slides, I'll just briefly touch upon the fact that what Chris said is there's parking in front of a lot of these homes. There's gravel, parking lot 2-3 doors down. So gravel is appropriate. There's a lot of asphalt, which again, we're staying away from just for the health of the trees, we feel is a better option for us. But also there is parking in front of the homes, and part of the reason is the roadways are narrow, and there's a reason for the parking to be situated as such. And again, we just feel that what has been proposed and what is being recommended for approval is consistent with the neighborhood. And at any one time, when you drive through the neighborhood, you'll find 2 or 3 cars parked in driveways, parked in front of homes. It's a natural home. And if you go to that one slide of Chris's house, please, Sherry. I think it was up. There, that one. We would say that this is consistent with the neighborhood. What you don't see right here, there will be landscaping. There will be a 3-foot high hedge of boxwoods. There will be hollies along the edge. There'll be some trees planted next to the columns in the front to provide more landscaping, and most of that gravel appearance will go away other than at the throat. But Chris is going to have 1 or 2 cars parked there similar to what his neighbors have parked in front of their homes. And I guess that's our feeling, is this, it's consistent with what's been done in the past, it's appropriate for the home, and we believe it's really consistent with the neighborhood and how the neighborhood parking is utilized. It might be a different story in a neighbor, in a different neighborhood where roads are wider and there were less parking issues, but clearly parking has morphed into atypical in this neighborhood where people are using parking pads in front of their homes to get off the street as places to park. So I just, again, want to reemphasize that we feel that, that what's been proposed is consistent and appropriate for this neighborhood, and would love to answer any questions.
Absolutely. All right, thank you very much. I'm going to continue to move through our other speakers real quick. Second person to speak, yeah, please come. State your name and address for record.
Sure. My name is Odysseus Bostic, address 4807 East Summit Circle, though it's, I think it's just Summit in the records. I live one road up from Chris and Renee. I have three kids. We walk past the house 3-4 times a day, walking our dog and just hanging out. I could attest, I won't go too deeply into it, but I just wanted to attest to the drainage issues that I've noted in the past that are now ameliorated through this change in landscaping. But first and foremost, I just want to be here today to support my neighbors who are have invested a tremendous amount of time, effort, and money into this house in the community. I've reached out to them a couple times in the past regarding the project and have gotten quick responses and in one case, some help actually, personally, with some questions of my own. Beyond that, I would say that as a homeowner and taxpayer, I would like to commend, I don't know your name, but I'd like to commend you on your forthrightness today and your efforts here to try to find a workaround for this that works and doesn't upset the integrity of the code. I'm impressed with that. I personally know how frustrating it would be if I proceeded on a project and then found out into the project that I had to stop and undo it. And that would be very frustrating. And I think that that would really kind of undermine the integrity of the code as believed in, as people participate in. And so I really respect that this is part of the parcel of the reason that we're here today. So thank you. Don't want to reiterate too much that you guys have already heard, but just to say that I can attest to the fact that this doesn't just increase property values in the neighborhood. It's restored the home into its former glory as it was dilapidated after some significant time of inattention. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Absolutely. One more to speak. Name and address for the record, please.
Thank you. Janet Testerman, 423 Scenic Drive. Thank you. I just wanted to note that I lived in this neighborhood for a historic neighborhood for nearly 11 years and believe in maintaining the historical integrity of this neighborhood, as I know Mr. Davis and Mr. Giannis have committed to doing as well, which is reflected by their investment to date in this property. First and foremost, and Mr. Davis mentioned, is the issue of the safety for Mr. Davis's elderly mother, who will be moving to the property, as well as for the owners who intend to make this their forever home. They've dedicated themselves, as we heard, to tree preservation, both in the front where the proposed driveway is intended to be, as well as in the back where a gravel driveway currently is, between 200-year-old trees that really prevents any real functional parking and prevents anyone from entering the house without having to access stairs. So this, of course, is problematic for Mr. Davis's mother, should she ever require wheelchair assistance. God forbid if the homeowners experience any type of injury and need physical assistance. The topography has proven to be a challenge with the drop-off being situated also on a blind hill that is already presents a real difficulty in pulling out and truly needs the ability to turn around and provide a safe exit. It's about tree preservation. It's about the opportunity for meaningful parking. It's also about the bundle of rights to the homeowner who should not be denied use of their property to the fullest potential. Recode, I've supported. It's a living, working document. And while overall I agree and support Recode and its purpose to raise the standards of our development projects and allow our experts within engineering, as well as plans review and inspections, to do their job and eliminate the red tape that has long existed. However, this is an example of unintended consequences. RECODE was a massive overhaul, and as mentioned, is a work in progress, and situations like this were swept in with bigger changes that were made. So RECODE's also handcuffed these departments from exercising much, if any, real flexibility. And so I look to BZA as a safety valve to allow the reasonable flexibility, especially when that what's being proposed is consistent with others in the neighborhood. And most importantly, because there's a true hardship as it relates to safety and access. So this, in fact, is the flagship house of this neighborhood, a home where Mr. Davis and Giannis have invested greatly, dedicated themselves to preserving and upholding the historical integrity of this area. But we also need to allow them the full use of their property. And it's use that's not disruptive to neighbors, nor does it set a bad precedent or have a negative impact on the neighborhood as a whole. But I do ask that you approve this request and recognize that this is an exception, as Mr. Aarons, Director Aarons noted, but for extremely valid reasons and is not the rule going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, absolutely. those that are here to speak in opposition, I know there are at least two or three. Got one, two, see two. One of you come on up and state your name and address for the record.
Sarah Bryant, 4158 Ridgeway Lane.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I've given you a packet of things. I've got a couple of photographs, number four and five there on the front, that shows what it looks like to have cars parked in the front lot of yard of this property. I don't think it's very appealing looking myself. And since, after all, it is against code, I don't know what else to say about that. There are also three letters in there that didn't get put into the original. Two of them from Kathy Irwin and Carrie Faulkner. Those women worked long and hard on this ordinance to get rid of front yard parking. And they live on Ridgeway Lane. Terry's lived there for 55 years. And I just wanted in the record that they did oppose this. The other one's from Margaret Fuller, who her family owned this property for 60 years, and she lived in it as a child and then later as an adult. So besides the fact that the parking area is illegal, there's the issue of precedence. If the variance is approved, it says precedence for anyone in Knoxville to be issued a variance for front yard parking. That seems very simple to me. I suggest that the inclusion of photos of other homes in Knoxville with front yard parking proves my point. Chris is trying to say there's precedent for the parking situation that he has created here. There's the photos he has on Forest Heights Boulevard. The one with the parking pad, the paved parking pad in the front, two doors down from him, that parking pad, it was there when I moved there 30 years ago. So it was certainly grandfathered in. The next one is a fairly new construction. It has a driveway and it has a backup place to allow it. This one faces Jamandawa. I don't know when this parking, I won't speak to that. I don't know when that was done. This one is a fairly new construction. They have the driveway into the garage, and then they have the one turnaround parking place. I don't think that is unnecessary because you certainly don't want to back out on Forest Heights Lane. As I read the code, it says that hardship is an issue, that these codes, that these variances are not given unless there's a hardship. The homeowner claims a hardship for his mother because she can't climb the stairs to enter the home from the parking area. I understand that's a valid problem, but why do they need a parking lot that will hold five or six cars in order to accommodate her? And I've got a picture in there that I've drawn off the parking spaces that it will easily park five cars, probably six. I'll also note that the original the original plan did not include the exit on Bowling Lane. So this was built for an elderly mother who possibly has some vision, maybe some hearing, maybe some speed issues, and he was going to have her pulling out onto the top of the hill on Forest Heights. I dare say that's not in her best interest. I wouldn't want to do it myself. And of course, I am elderly too, so that's a moot point. The parking area is 2,000 square feet in size. It takes up 50% of the front lawn. I suggest, Chris mentioned that somebody mentioned there was a problem with parking on the side. There's a photograph in there, the one marked number two, of a car parked on the side of the street, right at the sidewalk that goes from Bowling Lane up to the steps of the house. There are three steps there, but I suggest it would have been much cheaper to have graded off that parking area and made a sloped walking with a parking place for her on the street. As far as we are a parking challenge neighborhood, there's no doubt about it. He talked about the pads. At my house, I never had a garage or carport. The only parking available is a two-car concrete parking pad in the front. And believe me, I would much prefer to be parking in the back. I don't like the look of parking on the street, but that's the way it is. There's no other option on my piece of property. And that's the case with several other properties that he mentioned. I would suggest that his parking situation is one of the best in the neighborhood. He's got, as of 7 years ago, look at photo one. As of 7 years ago, there was a two-car garage in the basement. Now, I don't know if that's changed in the past 7 years. It may have. But there's a rear driveway that he spoke about that he's the only person in the family that can back out of that parking lot. I find it difficult to believe that it's that hard to pull out of that, but there is room to turn around. And I'd suggest there's room for 4 to 5 cars in that parking lot. Then the available parking, the two spots in the picture, photo number two, there's a car parked where I suggest that that his mother could park and walk into the house. And then the next photo, photo three, shows a couple of cars parked at the dead end of Bowling Lane, and there's 250 feet of street along Bowling Lane where that could be used for guest parking. So I have a hard time believing that they need to put in 2,000 square feet of parking in the front yard to accommodate their needs.
And we've run over 5 minutes, if you could.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. There's one other individual here to speak against. You could step up to the microphone. Name and address for the record, please.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Amy Midas. I live at 5015 West Summit Circle in Knoxville. I've lived in my house for almost 24 years, and I'm about a block northwest of this property. I drive by that house at least twice a day, depending on what my kids have going on. Sometimes it can be 6 or 8 times. So I've been watching this property quite a bit over the past couple of months. I have 3 things I want to address. One, I'd like to address kind of the timing of the permit that Director Ahrens had discussed. I want to talk about some of the pictures of other houses that have been presented as examples of this type of landscaping and parking that we have in our neighborhood. And then I kind of want to talk about just a precedent that we may be setting by allowing this variance to go through. So there was an email that had gone by back and forth between Ms. Perucci and Mr. Davis. I will say that by the time September 2nd happened and the person who had come out from the codes department issued that violation, both the driveway leading to the property had been constructed with concrete. It had been paved. 2 pillars had been constructed on either side. Sand had been laid across the entire surface of this motor court that he's planning on constructing. And I think there was a pile of pea gravel probably in the front yard at that point. So all of this, of course, could have been alleviated if Mr. Davis would have gotten a permit, which, you know, as I would think you would know if you're going to be parking, putting a parking lot in your front yard, that you would need to get a permit. But that did happen. And at the time, I think Mr. Aarons had actually mentioned that the driveway leading off of the motor court onto Bowling has already been constructed. It has not. Yeah. So right now it's just currently this square motor court that he had originally proposed on his first property. When he reached out to me about it, when I mentioned a circular driveway, I meant a circular driveway. I didn't mean that the motor court could be defined as a circular driveway. And that's where I see this right now. Circular driveway is a driveway shaped in this circle. This is a motor court. So I want to take a little, I also want to look at some of the pictures. I appreciate our, some of the, making a comparison to some of these amazing houses in Sequoia Hills. I don't know how many of you guys have visited Forest Heights neighborhood. I'd like to think that, you know, we do not have the houses of that size in design in our neighborhood. We do not, most of our lots are not that big. They're very narrow. If you have an acre or more of a lot in your neighborhood, it's because it's all hilly and they just gave it to you when they plotted it out. I don't think that this, that these houses are represent what's in our neighborhood. There are four pictures of houses in our neighborhood. Two of them are actually driveways that lead to garages, which is not this case. There is no front garage of this house. He did point out two of the parking pads, and I'd like to pull up one of them. That's just the one that's that right there. That's two doors down. So that parking pad was paved in around 1973. Actually, a family named the Kennedys had paved that one weekend. I talked to an owner who had lived there for over 60 years, and she remembered that and remembered how upset her parents were when they did that. When you back out of that, you back onto Forest Heights Drive, which is right at a blind hill. It's not a great spot. And I know Mr. Aarons would not have approved that in this day if that was to go come before BZA on a variance. So lastly, I just want to mention, you know, it's not easy to oppose a neighbor on any of this. I see how passionate he is about his plan, and I commend it. I mean, it's a beautiful plan. If I was to look at the design, I think it's gorgeous. Unfortunately, in my neighborhood, when I look at that plan from the street, it looks like a parking lot. I value the fact that he's a caregiver for his mom. I am a caregiver for my mom. She's 93 years old. She actually lives in the neighborhood in a flat one-story townhome in the back of our neighborhood because that's what's great for her mobility. You know, but Mr. Davis, he's only lived in this house now for 4 months. We're looking at, you know, this happening. If this happens, this is going to be here for probably the lifetime of the property. Just like what happened on that house there in 1973, we're looking at 60 years later, still looking at that thinking, gosh, you know, that's a cute house. I love that house. But when I look at that house, I see a parking lot with a Jeep, and you can see right now they've got building material parked there in the front. So what happens 5 years from now once Mr. Davis moves out? You know, another family moves in there. Maybe they have three teenagers, each have a car. You know, maybe they have a barbecue smoker that they decide that they're going to put there on the weekends, a camper. Say someone else on the street decides, hey, I like that motor court. I think that's a good idea. I'm going to go ahead and go before BZA and get permission for another motor court. What happens when someone decides that they're tired of the pea gravel and one weekend they're going to come out and just asphalt it all over? Then what happens? Then we have something that's even worse. You know, the zoning ordinance, you know, it worked. And I know Director Aarons knows how much time he's put into this. And a lot of the input came from codes. A lot of this, the restrictions that they put on this, on front yard parking is because of all the complaints that the city has had through the years regarding front yard parking that was inappropriate and detracted from the neighborhood and was not safe. I'll say one thing. I want to say that this is not a response to Mr. Davis. This is a response to all these poor decisions and actions that have been made over the past 60 years that were corrected with the new zoning ordinance. I think this is a very slippery slope if this variance is approved. Do not undo a right here, and please oppose this variance. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Davis, would you like an opportunity to address any of the comments that were made by the folks who were speaking against your variance request? And it can be you or anyone that's here with you that you might like to speak to it as well for up to 2 minutes.
Okay. First of all, this has been a big hardship for us, and we are heartbroken that we have upset a few of our neighbors, but we have had overwhelming response that is good from people in the neighborhood behind us on Forest Hills and all over the neighborhood. I have tons of signatures of people who are really excited about this, and the increase in their property values is a very real thing. And this house is the jewel of the neighborhood, I think. And I'm actually raising the value of everybody's homes. There are a lot of homes that are built much later than this one. And no, they don't have the same aesthetic as this one does, but this is what's appropriate for this house. And anyway, I'll let somebody else speak.
Sure, thank you.
Hey, Odysseus Bostic again. 4807 Summit Circle. I'd like to say a couple things. I think some issues were a little egregious. I think we can't really judge this project with the understanding or assumption that this family is going to build it and move in 5 years. I think that their request here is really legitimate. I have seen the inside of the house. I can tell you that an ambulance is not going to get in the back of the house. It's not easy to get somebody out of the back of the house. As a former EMT, I will tell you that. And in general, this is a really beautiful house. There's nothing that it detracts from the community. It makes it safer. I've driven into the parking lot. I road tested it, so to speak, the other day. Makes it safer to get in and out. Right there is a blind curve. I have to make my kids cross the street to go down every time because of the blindness of the curb. And I just would encourage you again that revoking a permit that was issued is disheartening, and it undermines the credibility of the code and the office. And so I urge you, please accept these variances and move on. If it truly doesn't upend the integrity of the code moving forward, then that's a fact. And I would hope that you would respect that.
Thanks. You very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate all the comments that have been made. Sure, real quick.
Okay, real quick.
Sir.
Again, I would just counsel everyone to understand the project's not complete.
Name and address real quick.
I'm sorry, David Payne with Steve Hackney's office.
Thank you.
Project's not complete. It's really difficult to judge a project that was stopped before it began. We would have been here before you regardless because it does require a variance to do what we're proposing. So that point's moot. And I guess the only frustration we have is I work for Steve Hackney's office. We did not submit another drawing that day. So I don't know where that information came from. I don't think it's a moot point at this level. But let's not forget, the project's not done. There is a wealth of landscaping. Once that landscaping goes in, you're not going to see a driveway or a gravel field. And to the last thing I want to say is there's no code requirement that does not allow a property owner to pave his entire front yard with gravel for landscape purposes. The calling it of a parking lot is disingenuous. It's a residence. Mr. Davis has maybe two or three cars ever. There are never going to be six or seven cars permanently parked in front of his house. It's a residence. He has one or two vehicles. His mom might have a vehicle. Three or four people would be generally all that is parking in front of his house, and every single neighborhood house has the same issue. They all have two or three cars parked in front of their houses, dropping things off from time to time. And again, I appreciate you hearing me out, but let's not forget the project is half finished. So it's, as a landscape architect, I would hope you respect there. If you could go back to that, I don't know that we spent time on it, but I think we're skipping over the fact that the plan is beautiful and it's just disheartening to be torn apart before it has a chance to come to fruition. Thank you.
Sure, thank you very much. For what it's worth, I will say, I've served on BZA for 8 years now, and I can think of one other time when I've had a neighborhood, this many people in a room concerned about an issue. So that's impressive to me. And I want to commend all of you for caring about your neighborhood to this degree. So from our standpoint, you know, listening to this, we take that seriously. And quite frankly, it's a little intimidating sitting here with as many of you just being this passionate about it. So thank you for coming and spending your time on zoning issues. So I think where do y'all want to start? I would got several issues, so things I want to ask about. But you want to go ahead?
I'll start. I have a question for Peter. I'm still trying to understand the circular driveway versus, so is it true they can't ask for a variance for just a front driveway? Is that why the circular driveway interpretation came to the forefront?
They can have a driveway in their front yard, but it cannot extend in front of the house. Only circular driveways can extend in front of the house. I'm gonna have to pull up.
Define extend in front of the house.
So once you go above 75 feet, no driveway is allowed to be in front of the front wall of the house and the property line, except for a circular drive. Less than that, it can be in front of the house, but it has to be within a certain distance of the property line, side property line. So since this is right over that 75 foot, it had to be a circular driveway.
Okay, thank you for clarification.
This is confusing. KGIS shows 73 feet and then parentheses 76 feet. But the plat said 76 feet. So we went with the plat. It is confusing.
I haven't seen that before. How does that happen?
I hadn't seen it before either. I'm not sure why the discrepancy is on KGIS.
And is there a survey of?
Is there a current survey on the property? So the survey says it's 73. Plat says it's 76.
And perhaps that's where discrepancy comes from. I'm not sure.
Another question. Does a circular driveway allow parking around it? Can you park around the circular driveway?
Yes.
So you would have cars parked in front of the house with a circular driveway? Could have.
Yes.
Okay.
What could they do in terms of a driveway off the front that wouldn't be good? Just give me a definition real quick so I can put this in context of what code would allow for.
Based on it being 76 feet, I think the size of the house, I'm not sure if they could have one other than
that. Before you answer that question, let me ask this. Why are we going with the ward map versus survey?
We hadn't seen the survey. We could go into the other, but it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole. As soon as you change one number, then how the code has to be interpreted is pretty different.
Right. So what if it is 76? Okay, thank you. What if it is 73 feet?
If it's less than 75, then the driveway can be in front of the house so long as it is within 10 feet of the side yard line.
Jerry, do you know if there's a side setback in any of the drawings? Do you know what your side setback is between the house and the side property line?
So that variance is there. Asking for 29 feet from the side yard line instead of 10.
Peter, I wasn't real sure I understood exactly why calling this a circular drive was the only way to get this in front of us.
It allows. Can we go back to that? Yeah. If it's not a circular driveway, it cannot be in front of the house.
So the court is not allowed, period?
Correct.
So we have to call that court a circular driveway for it to be there.
We have to call that a circular driveway in order to allow it to be in front of the house. And then those extensions of the branch type turnaround create what is being called a court.
Okay.
But if we're considering it a 73-foot width, a driveway would be allowed in front of the house.
Right, if it's less than 75 feet.
But that's a straight driveway in. That's not a driveway that comes in.
I understand. What I'm trying to get my head around is hardship and the variance and why what constitutes a hardship and why there's a lot of variances here, which is always a red flag, right? I'm speaking on what I've been hearing, what I see here. I think there is a hardship, but I'm not sure I understand the hardship for a circular driveway. I could see a hardship for some of these setbacks due to the topography, due to the site constraints with the tree, due to the topography of the lot. I see some hardship. I just don't know if I can reconcile hardship with what's before us right now and all these different variances. I'm just trying to wrap my head around why again, and started with the circular driveway. I just didn't make sense.
Okay. This was the cleanest path based on what we were presented with that was already completed. It's not like we were working with a designer prior to get the minimum.
I have a question though. Judging by the photos, I don't see that connection to bowling that has not been constructed yet. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That would need to be installed in order for it to be a circular driveway.
Okay. The first piece of this is just the appealed the zoning administrator's interpretation that the proposed driveway is not a circular driveway. I think that's where we need to start. The rest of the variances, I don't think, come into really much effect if we don't have a motion and a vote and an understanding of that between us.
You know, I have another hypothetical question related to that, related to the first variance. Provided there was a planter in the middle of this motor court, would that constitute a circular driveway?
No. We went down that road as well.
Okay.
And
I mean, would it not be a circular drive in, drive out, circular driveway? Or is the turning radius not enough? Is that the issue?
We felt that the illustrations in the code provided are intended to provide clarity to the language. Obviously the language prevails, but the illustrations provide clarity. And my recollection of the recode process did not contemplate essentially the lollipop driveway.
It's a lollipop driveway, sorry. What we've got here?
No, the lollipop driveway is a single entrance.
Yes.
And exit is one. And then you loop around at the top.
Okay, so
come out where you came in.
If that's not a circular driveway, what would that be? I'm just trying to understand what would that be called if it's not a circular driveway?
that would have not been contemplated during the recode process. It's not something that we typically see. Obviously, there's variations of everything. I would imagine if somebody wanted to do that, we would dive into the current language and see how we could navigate through.
Okay, so if we're at 73 feet, they could have a driveway. It's just going to be a straight in, straight out. Is there any opportunity for a turnaround on that driveway?
200 square foot branch type turnaround.
When is a parking court allowed? It exists. When is that? When does that meet?
My recollection of parking courts in my tenure have been increasing the branch type turnaround size, increasing the maximum width of a driveway. You're basically looking to see which code section you can modify the least to get what the applicant's desired outcome is. And there's a million different ways to skin that cat.
It's not permitted at all, is what you're saying, by right.
Not in the front yard. Once you get to the backyard, it's kind of a different thing.
But every time we've heard that, there's been a variance on the branch turnaround. So I think that's my recollection. I can think of a couple examples where we've had that.
I'm curious with the, this is 13, page 13 of the submittal, where the driveway materials are changed. Nope. I guess. Showing the number six, the variance number six. There. Is that a change in materials?
That was for me. They weren't aware of that. That was to show the imaginary, if you will, circular driveway.
Okay.
An increased size because it's allowed up to 18 feet. So we gave, the hatched area.
The hatching, yes.
That's
it's not a change in material. It's right. Just hatched area. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Mr. Davis, I have a question for you real quick, if you don't mind, come up the microphone. On the branch driveway off to Bowling Lane right there?
Yes.
That, you said that was a suggestion, I think, from the Neighborhood Association. Is that right? Do I remember that right?
Yes, it was from Amy Modis.
Okay, what was the reason for that when that was suggested? Did you talk about what their drive was for that?
The neighbor across the street, the Leonidas's, their driveway enters off of Forest Heights and goes on to Ridgeway. And she suggested that I do that.
So explain that to me a little bit more. You're saying the neighbor, which across Ridge Street?
So Ridgeway is directly across the entrance of my driveway.
Right. Okay.
There's Ridgeway. So the Leonidas is right. That's their house right here.
I see. I got you.
Their driveway does
sure. That. So the thought process of exiting there.
Right. And okay. The reason our driveway is off of, if you're looking at the house farther from the right, it's because there's a 250-year-old oak tree there that we're trying to save. So we wanted to keep the driveway off of that root system. Right. And we would literally be right on top of our neighbors. We don't have that much width in our yard and our house. If the driveway is not supposed to be able to face the main front wall of the house, we don't even have enough width past the main wall to do a driveway.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure.
It's that large gray circle, that's the oak tree.
Right on this corner.
Yeah.
Mr. Davis, quick question. I can understand hardship for topography in terms of having access for drop-off for your mother. Mm-hmm. Explain to me the hardship for requiring size of this in terms of number of spaces, needing six or seven spaces. What's the rationale for having such a large space?
If you ever entertain, it's just so people can park. If we had to have an ambulance come to our house, it's so they can actually get to the front door.
But a driveway would allow ambulance to get to the front door.
Right, but if we do a driveway that's regular width, someone has to move to get the other car out. You know what I mean? We'd either have to back up onto Forest Heights. There's no way to get around to the car in front of you unless it moves. My mother doesn't hardly ever move her car.
So is there going to be a fire lane in front of the house then?
Well, I'm just saying if you're on a driveway and it's a straight shot, yeah. You go in one end, out the other. If someone's in front of you, you either have to back up and go back out onto Forest Heights or go forward. And the thing about it is a motor court area, it's not always for parking. If we entertain, like we could put a tent there. I want to host a engagement party for my niece. I wanted a tent in the front yard, you know, and have a perfect area to do that. Literally, we only have three cars. We don't have guests that often, but if we did, it'd be a nice place to have them park. If you park on Bowling, which everybody has told us to do, our neighbors down the street literally can't back out of their driveway where we have to park our cars. And I know they said there's lots of parking in the back. We cannot turn our car around that driveway. It is impossible. Mm-hmm. We don't use the garage. I don't see how you can get them out of it.
Mr. Davis, neighbor mentioned something about a blind curve, and I'm just looking at a map. What's he talking about? Can you explain that?
Bowling is a blind curve. Okay. When you pull out of Bowling onto Forest Heights, you're below the crest of the hill. There's a mirror on a light pole next to Leonidas's house across the street. It is still almost impossible to see down. But if you, where our little entrance is now, which everybody has been concerned about, saying it's dangerous to pull out there, you can see all the way down Forest Heights. And I walk it every morning. I take my dog out. If I pull my car out there, you can see all the way down the hills. It's actually a much safer place to pull out.
Okay. If you want to just state, because you said it, I don't want to just put words in your mouth. Explain what you were saying.
So it's an issue with the topography. When you are stepping out of their driveway in question, and you look to the left, it's a steep hill coming up. At the point that you would be exiting at that point, you can see down and cars can see you come up. But just 5 feet further up towards the street above them, Bowling, and it's a blind hill. It's not a curve. I misspoke. So it's a blind hill, and cars can't see you.
Gotcha. Thank you. I guess to actually define that a little bit further, Mr. Davis, or either one of you is fine. You both live there. If the dog leg that goes over to Bowling Road is, if you're pulling out from Bowling onto Forest Heights, can you see from that point both directions? Or?
You can see to the left, I'm sorry, to the right, you can see on Bowling, but our yard is the crest of the hill.
Yes.
So Bowling, you're below the crest, just a little bit, but it's enough that you can't see over the hill.
Okay.
So cars coming up Forest Hill from the left, you cannot see them, but from our new driveway, you can.
Okay.
You can see all the way down to Sutherland.
Okay, I got you.
What was the reasoning for, I guess, other than calling it a circular driveway, for the driveway onto Bowling? You wouldn't ever want to exit that way. Like you would come in that way.
Well, I would be coming up through. I think I understand your question. I would be coming up from Forest Heights. That's how we would come in. to the driveway.
And then you would exit onto Bowling.
Yes, or I could go into Bowling and enter from there and then go out onto Forest Heights. But either way, I'd have to pass a car to get out for backup one.
But so the one that's built, the driveway that's built, is on Forest Heights.
Right.
Okay. So I guess I'm trying to figure out why the one on Bowling Lane is necessary or even useful, because that's the one that has the blind.
I honestly don't care about the one on Bowling Drive. That okay. That was a suggestion from the neighborhood, and I don't really even want it, and it's going to be hard to construct as well. But you can see how much lower Bowling is.
Drop shot there, right?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, the slope.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll let you just give us 1 second, let him finish real quick. I understand. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
So Bowling is below our yard, and we actually, there's no walkway to our front door now. So you're going up, it would be 8 steps or 9 steps into the house.
Sure.
From Bowling.
Okay, thank you. Sure, go ahead. It was your email.
So I would
state your name real quick, please.
So when Mr. Davis reached out to me and I suggested—
Did you just state your name?
Oh, Amy Midas, 5015 West Summit Circle. When he reached out to me, I mentioned a circular driveway. The intention was not for a motor court. It was for an encircular driveway that he could enter onto Forest Heights Drive, exit onto Bowling, and then be able to maybe create a ramp for his mother to go from the driveway into the house. It wasn't for the step outs on either side to allow for the motor court, which is not legal in the city.
Sure.
I didn't realize at that time that a circular driveway actually entails entering and exiting on the same street. But that was just my suggestion to him. If he needed some access for his mom, that seemed like the best, most appropriate way of doing it without having to put gravel all throughout his whole front yard and allow for all that parking.
Sure, thank you very much.
I'd like to jump in and make a clarification on the frontage.
Sure.
I won't say that it isn't 73 feet, but the what was provided to us, the site plans, didn't have a surveyor's stamp or a professional stamp on it. And so we considered those as renderings and gave the plat a higher rank on the frontage. Again, not to say that if it was surveyed, it would be 73 or not.
Sure.
Seems like part of the issue is the gravel. And have you looked at alternatives to planting pavers and things like that? That accomplish the same things.
The landscaping, and they can speak to this as well. The gravel lets water and air get to the tree.
And you could do that with other perforated pavers with planting in it.
Well, pavers are, I would think, would be considered a hard surface, and there's limits on how much hard surface you can have. So we actually have less concrete and less hard surface in our yard than probably anybody in the neighborhood, because it's all permeable. Yeah. We have looked at other options as well, though. I don't know what we call it, with the sod and the metal. What with the sod and the metal? What is that?
Oh, you did it.
Yeah, come on. We're going to get you on record. Sorry.
David Payne. Again, we did anticipate other surfaces other than the only other surface really would be a lawn, but it's a maintenance thing. I don't understand why people are so afraid of gravel. Gravel is a benefit to this project, specifically driven by the fact that we have 250-year-old tree perilously close to any kind of hard surface. Installation of paving materials requires heavier equipment to install than the gravel does. It's just everything that has been thought to this point was to benefit the tree and to protect it as long as possible. Mr. Davis did not want to protect the tree, he could have, within his rights, stayed within the 10 feet, but we would have had to take the tree out. And again, that's the goal of this has been
with the surface materials and other things is to protect and maintain the historic character of that neighborhood and that tree.
Thank you, sir. Peter, I want to go back to the code and why you have gone towards a circular driveway versus, well, first of all, did you have something you wanted to say?
I was just going to say that the material isn't the issue. It's the function of it. We've, I don't know if you guys were on the board when, no, it didn't even come to board. We had somebody who illegally paved their corner side yard because they got leftover concrete
guy.
And we actually forced them to create a patio of sorts and not have it function as vehicle parking, which it obviously was.
Right.
The reason we went with the circular drive is because we didn't, like Joshua was saying, the survey didn't have the seal. And so we went on what we felt was the more reliable information of the plat. The plat showed it was greater than 75 feet. And so in that situation, it's a prohibition to have a driveway in front unless it is a circular.
See, I'm going back to circular in terms of that. You said the lollipop type driveway. I don't see why that wouldn't be considered a circular driveway. And that would be, it seems to me, that would be a better or more logical interpretation to appeal since it's not spelled out in the code very clearly. And it seems like a more simple solution to this issue because it takes away the excess on Bowling and allows for a circular driveway in the front of the house with some modifications, obviously. But you know, I'm not the applicant. I don't want to make an application on his behalf, but
sure.
That's what I'm struggling with is there's hard. I think there's a legitimate hardship here. I don't know if there's a legitimate hardship for I see it as either a true circular driveway as in consistent what I've seen throughout the neighborhood and across the street or what I was just suggesting is some sort of a modifying the motor court into a circular driveway and allowing for that. Either way, I can see a hardship, but I don't particularly like the way it's structured right now. I'm speaking for myself.
And I think I'm thinking somewhat similar, but I'm wondering why we went after going the circular just because of the width of the front.
Because it's in front, yeah. The circular driveways are only permitted.
We've considered mortar courts before is what's going through my head. But mortar court, like you said, it's just a variance on the width of the turnaround section of the driveway. That's what we've done before. Why didn't we just go after this the same way?
Because this one's in front of the house. That's the kicker, is because it's in front of the house.
We haven't. I'm thinking of a couple other examples in my mind where they were also in the front of that. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
I'm thinking of one on Kingston Pike.
Yeah, that's the one most recently. Yeah. Address.
Right.
If I recollect, there's one on Cherokee Boulevard as well. And what I remember, Don, I think you were probably on the board for that. Is that they varied the width of the driveway. I think it might have been a maximum of 20, and they went to 50, for example.
But the only
versus just the turnaround.
The only reason we didn't go that direction with this thought process is just that the width of the front yard. Is that right? No. The only reason we didn't. It's just that 73 feet versus the 76 feet. 76 feet made us go after a circular driveway because that's the only thing that would have been allowed over 75 feet.
I believe so.
Okay.
Those other properties that you're referencing, were they wider than 100 feet? Because if they were.
I believe they are.
So that's why they would be permitted to have it in front of the house. And that's why we could modify driveway widths. We could massage it a different way because
they're over 100 feet.
Yeah, because you're allowed to have a circular drive then you can be in front of the house. That's the whole kicker to this one is,
right,
it's less than 100 feet, and it's, which means you can't have a circular drive. The plat says that it's less than 75 feet, which means you can't have.
It's more than 75 feet, it's 76 feet.
Oh, that's right, 76 feet. It's not less than 75 feet. Less than 75 feet allows a driveway in front of the house.
With the turnaround, because it's
yes
76. No, let him. I need him to finish, please. Hold on. Thank you. Keep going. I'm trying to understand the differentiation between the 100 feet and the 75.
100 feet allows a circular drive. Less than 75 feet allows a circular drive in front of the house. Less than 75 feet allows straight drive with a branch type turnaround in front of the house.
Okay.
Anything between 75 and 100, there's no opportunity. Unless it's leading to your driveway or leading to your garage.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right. And that's the other one I wanted to point out on the one on Kingston Pike. It had a garage there, and that allows for more flexibility. It can be as wide as the garage goes. It can layer out to a four-car garage, which would allow for that. So that was the one on Kingston Pike.
Okay.
So if we want to replat this, go through the process to update that lot width, and it is indeed less than 75 feet, then theoretically they could request variances to move the driveway further away from the side property line. And then that would be the first. And please don't hold me to this because we didn't evaluate this in detail.
Right.
Then it would be, the second would be increasing the number of branch type turnarounds from 1 to 2, so you could have one on either side.
And then increasing the width of those.
Increase the size from 200 to 600 something.
And I'm only asking for this in an effort to understand your interpretation. And that's where I'm trying to get to. Because again, I think this board, we're tasked with figuring out the interpretation of what you've said before we figure out anything else. I want to understand all of it.
Sure. But
I think the first step is just the number one. Sir, I'm sorry, we've had public comment. I'm not going to continue to just talk. Apologize. Thank you. Okay.
It sounds like in order to even hear 2 through 8, you have to hear the one in the circular driveway.
Yeah, I believe
so. Right. The only other way, perhaps we could postpone and seek a survey that was had the accurate width.
Yep. I think one thing I had a thought about earlier, I think it's important to say, and I'm not, I wish Christina was here today, but I'm not City Hall.
She zoomed in. You can probably ask her.
Oh, she's here?
Yeah, hey, Daniel, I'm here.
I'm doing awesome. Hey, wow, you're here the whole time. real quickly, I just want to confirm, I think you have told us that in terms of precedent for state law, we do try to be consistent as much as we can. But I'm under the impression that we don't really create precedent at BZA. Is that right?
Well, it's kind of a tricky question. And that's, I know, every single lawyer answer in the universe. But typically with the BZA, you are looking at every single application as a very property specific item. So meaning that, you know, no two properties are exactly the same. So in that sense, you're exactly right, Daniel, that to some extent, no one application sets a complete precedent for later applications that are similar. However, all decisions that boards like the BZA make have to be free from arbitrariness and capriciousness. And that does involve a level of looking back at some prior decisions to make sure that basically, you know, we're not going rogue on every single application that comes in, that we are viewing all of these in context. I know that's kind of a murky answer, but if the board felt strongly about moving forward with this in a way that did not set precedent, I think the best thing to do would be to couch any motion in terms of the specifics of this particular project being the main focal points for the consideration.
Okay, thank you very much.
Of course.
Okay, for our purposes, considering Peter's interpretation, that's where we need to focus our time today. I am I am personally, just for the sake of our conversation up here, leaning towards the fact that I don't like how this is structured. It's out of the norm of what we've said yes to ever. I think.
We don't like to go against Peter.
What's that?
We don't like to go against his interpretations.
Well, we don't.
We don't.
And we don't typically, but that's, you know, I'm not necessarily, and I have before actually.
We have.
I voted against his
interpretation. You probably should more, actually.
I'd like us to focus on that. Christina, if this were denied today, would they be able to restructure this and resubmit, or once we deny, do they get an opportunity to revisit this with this code department? How does that work?
Sure. What I would do, if you want to leave open the possibility of their refiling a revised application, what I would do is do a motion to deny without prejudice. And that's kind of the magical wording that allows them to come back with something similar.
Okay. And what are the limitations that we have within our right to require in terms of any future use or re-permitting of the property, being able to put, like, somebody comes back and wants to put a different surface on top of any pea gravel in the future? Can we put limitations on our variance relative to materials that are used in the future? We can't, can we?
Generally, that's something that's very tough to do, because the nature of a variance really is supposed to be land specific and not owner or user specific. So future limitations on that are generally, they're hard to enforce, and typically don't exactly mesh well with the purpose of a variance, because once granted, typically a variance stays on the property until whatever condition was, the reason for the variance being granted is changed or resolved in some way.
Right. Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board?
Well, what is the process if, you know, a survey is done and shows that we're below the 75 feet? Does it then go through replatting and a whole, or does that survey stand to as evidence of this less than 75 feet?
We'll recognize a stamped survey.
We would have to deny this application in order for them to resubmit, like if they were going to change the variance request based on that information, that your line of thought, we would have to deny this one and they'd have to resubmit.
Or can they use this application? You postpone it, let them resolve all of that, and then maybe the variances get restructured based on that.
Sorry, that's a question. I don't know who it's for, but is it possible to postpone this application and for the variance request to be revised based on the survey, or does it have to be denied and a new one submitted?
Christina, I think it can be postponed as long as we update the application.
I agree. As long as the requests for variances weren't, expanded in any way, because at that point we might need to republish notice in the newspaper. We've had that issue come up a couple of times, especially with sign variances. But it sounds like the board's purpose would be to kind of get a more specific understanding of the site and the constraints, and then also to kind of nail down in more specific detail what the variances would need to be. But yes, I think that absolutely could be done in terms of postponing and requesting some revised and updated materials.
Yep.
As long as we reposted it, Christina, they could increase, because I'm thinking if they go down that road, the branch type turnaround that is currently requested to 350 square feet, that would have to be increased significantly, but we would just need to repost that, correct? We would just
That's right. We would just need to work with Sherry on making sure we hit all of the appropriate deadlines for that. But that's right.
So yeah. then it kind of boils down to, I don't know how quickly surveyors can jump on and do their thing.
Right.
You want to go with, let's go with, is there a motion that you made?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. We defer item 11-A-21-VA till our December 21st meeting based on conflicting information as it relates to the frontage until a survey can be conducted.
Second.
Motion and second for that motion. I think that, or for that, for this item. I think that I'm hearing that maybe there's a part of the driveway that's not needed. Maybe that can be adjusted. You know, I'm not gonna make any promises either based on this postponement for anything next month in terms of what we do or don't do, but I'm not certain I understand why we presented it this way to BZA. I would probably go after it being a little bit smaller lot on the front and doing a normal driveway width and length variance that we've looked at in the past in order to keep within the boundary lines of what we've said yes to in prior applications instead of reinventing the wheel with how this one is kind of structured. So that would at least give us something that's more akin to what we've looked at in the past to look at. And then it becomes a question about, you know, the size of that area and the general effect it has in the neighborhood and so forth. I'd encourage the applicant to bring back any more photos that would help us understand elevation changes, blind hill, land. We talked about landscaping relative to being able to see any parking area. We want to understand how this is really going to affect that streetscape. I think there's a little types of questions. So that would be my comment on our motion. Any other comment?
I would comment that any effort to minimize the variances and the effects of the variances is valuable. So that's one of the benefits that I see to confirming if it is in fact 73 feet instead of the 76 is we would reduce the number of requests in the application.
And finally, one other comment I have, we've talked about this in previous meetings, particularly as it relates to interpretations of items in our code that aren't clearly defined. This is a good example of that. So perhaps we could come up with a definition of a motor court, a more clear definition of what a circular driveway is and what is not a circular driveway, or come up with whatever name. If it's something else, we just need more clear definitions to avoid these situations in the future. So.
Okay. For the comment, we have a motion and a second. Postpone 11A21VA to our December 21 meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much. We'll adjourn our meeting for the evening.
Good job.
We are okay, so we're going to reconvene our meeting briefly here to hear our first item on tonight's agenda, which was 10B21VA with Renee Dollar, 210 Stratford Road.
Thank you so much. This is Renee Dollar. I'm her mom. She's kind of shy.
Sure, okay.
You can try to make her talk, but I'm going to be here in case she
sure. I'll tell you what, give us 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here, if you don't mind, go ahead and stepping out. We need to reconvene for just a few minutes, and thank you very much. Go ahead and clear the room so that we don't have competing volumes.
That was very interesting, I have to say.
Well, I'm glad you thought so.
well, not knowing how the process works, it was eye-opening.
Let's see here. Okay. Ms. Burke, I need to know, let's see, is it my files? Here we go, I found it. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Figured it out, sorry. Okay, 10B21 VA. You said Renee and?
I'm Renee, she's
okay, great. Which one of you are going to speak to this?
I think I probably will because she's kind of shy about it.
Okay,
but
sure.
I want her here to answer whatever questions y'all might have.
Absolutely. If you'll step to the microphone real quick, tell us your name and address for the record.
Well, my address is different than hers. Will
yep,
that matter?
Go ahead and tell me your name.
I'm Tammy Dollar, 4214 Mint Road, Maryville.
Okay, Tammy.
It's for my daughter.
Okay, great.
Renee Dollar.
Sure, absolutely. So the way the process works for us is we will ask you, tell us about your variance request, and you just describe what you're asking for.
Okay.
And then why. So when I say the nature of your hardship, we're asking for, why is this a variance request that you're asking for? And you just have to describe that to us real quick. Okay. Would you do that for me?
I can. Yeah. Do you want to do that, or do you want me to do it? I'm trying to get you some wings here, so you can fly. I'll do it. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get her. You know, she's young.
Sure. That's fine.
So what it is she bought a home this year. And we bought I'm a real estate agent. So I feel like this is a learning curve for me too, because we bought it with no restrictions, contacted the fence company. I was assuming that the fence company would tell me if there was an issue with variances or anything. I had no clue. So I did tell her, let's put it as far off the road as possible so that we don't run into any easement issues. So the closest point of the fence to the road is 20 feet back. We are requesting the variance because somebody said something and she has two young dogs that can clear a smaller fence, which is why we went with the height that we did. It doesn't restrict any view from any way because I've driven it and walked it and tried to see if it would be a hindrance to anyone and I couldn't see anything. So the hardship would be if we have to take it down, her dogs would get loose and bark all the time if she has to chain them up. If we lowered it, the dogs would jump it. So the main reason for it is, as I said, she's young. She has two young puppies, or not puppies now. They're a little over a year old. They're still puppies. But that's what we're here for.
Okay, sure.
And it's on kind of a corner lot, too. So it's not like your typical house where you have a big front yard or a big backyard. There's more in the front for the dogs than there was on the back.
Sure.
So that's what we're requesting.
Now, I was just looking at the topography of the house. Is there any sloping? Is there any slope on the property?
A little bit of a hill in the front, a little bit more level in the back, but the fence doesn't interfere with any, the fence is on the slope. So if anything, that would help people being able to see over it.
Okay. And where is the fence exactly?
She did submit pictures.
She did. I'm looking here real quick through. I think maybe this. I'll tell you what.
As I said, the closest point of the fence to the road is 20 feet back.
Sure, I got you. Ms. Burke, could you go to the page that has the layout on the scroll that right there? If you could, real quick, tell me, look at the side here.
The side with the 90 is the what they would call the front of the house that I think the problem is. The rest of it, the actual front of the house is 70 feet. The 90, it's on a corner, so it's not set the way the regular house would be.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
What I'm wanting to know is where is the, where does the 6 foot
start?
Where's
the shed?
Is it all 6 foot?
The whole fence is 6 feet. That's what the problem was.
Whole fence is 6 feet.
But we can't shorten part of it because that's the part the dogs could jump. And as far as that picture goes, I can't, the driveway, okay, that where the driveway is obviously what they would consider true front, but the 70 is on one side and the 90 is on the other side. That's the corner issues.
I think I understand now. So, okay, the part that sticks out there on the front is technically in a front yard because it is on
that's what they would and that's the biggest part of the yard for the dogs.
Sure.
Behind the house doesn't have very much.
Sure.
Sorry I'm not as eloquent speaking as the rest of them, but this is all new to us. So
just a point of clarification, it's not a corner yard, it's a curved front yard. It's all Stratford. It's not at an intersection. It's in the shape of what could be, but it is all Stratford. Correct. It's just all of that whole curve is considered front yard.
Okay.
So the whole thing is the front yard?
Correct.
Not a side yard. Yeah.
Right.
You can see from the picture how it's set, and that's why we put the fence so far back so that it wouldn't hinder anybody seeing going around. And again, I thought the fence company would have mentioned if there was an issue. I didn't realize it was a learning curve for me too.
Yep. They're there to put your fence up. Not to tell you about
it. It's beautiful. It was an $8,000 fence. We spared no expense on it. It beautifies the neighborhood, in my opinion. The next person would probably love it as well. So, I can't see it being a hindrance when it actually beautifies the neighborhood, but I'm not in your chair. So, I'm just requesting that it stay. Her house is also at the lower end of the neighborhood, so all the houses are higher. So anybody everybody can see over her anyways.
Sure. Scott, so it would just be the part that is, the issue is from wrapping at the front.
And that's 20 curve, feet back, yeah.
Around the curve to the back corner, right? Everything in the backyard going across and up the other side could be 6 feet. Is that correct?
Right. Sherry, if you don't mind, go to slide number 9. That's something that I created to help the board here. That shows an area of where a 6-foot fence would be permitted. So it's 5 feet behind the front building line on both sides. So gotcha. All of that area could be 6 feet.
And we do have that part fenced in, but she's not going to use the front yard for anything else, which is the bigger portion of the yard for the dogs, just to give them a little bit more room to run. So,
understand. Was there an actual, Scott, was there a complaint made at the city? Or
it came to me as one of our field inspectors had a complaint, and it was a notice of violation issued, and it came to us as a remedy to fix it through this process. So but there is a complaint.
Questions or comments?
I think what we're tasked with is BZA. When we approve a variance, we have to have a hardship. Mm-hmm. The hardship typically has to deal with site, the constraints of the property. Hardship can't be, my dogs can get out.
Well, was what we considered to be a hardship, if they had to be removed, because if she chains them, they're going to bark at everything.
But you could have built a fence like that, like this diagram. Wouldn't
give the picture doesn't show it, but that doesn't give them. There's a shed in that picture as well that's not on there.
Or right, is it? But in terms of a hardship, even in by that argument, you can build a fence that can contain your dogs, per the code. So there's a variance is something again.
We're not here
pointing fingers at all. It's just, when we make decisions, we got to be very careful about precedent we set, and we got to make sure. And we want to help. We want to find a hardship. I'm having trouble understanding where the hardship exists as it relates to. I can see where you're on not a corner, but somewhat of a corner. Curved front yard.
That's my thought.
I think the hardship is the fact that it's already up.
That's not a hardship though.
I understand.
I don't mind thinking about this as if it's on a corner. Sure, it's practically on a corner. That's my only
thought. I personally don't like that it extends in front of the building line. I think that does kind of detract from the character of the neighborhood, and that's again a standard we look at. So that's what I'm struggling with. It does impact a little bit of the character. I don't see any other houses on the street that have a fence in their front yard, let alone a 6-foot privacy fence.
I understand.
But as far as a hardship for any reason other than what I've stated, there isn't, except for just, it's already up and it would be heartbreaking to, I understand though, if that's, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, there can't be a financial hardship.
Sure, we wouldn't have done it to begin with, which is course. Why we're requesting
your fence company, hopefully they would have noticed it, but they didn't, and responsibility typically, but it's understandable. We see mm-hmm. these variances a lot. It's just we struggling with the hardship and finding a workaround.
Yeah, I'm struggling with the hardship too. So there's that, but I guess I would say that the obscuring. I don't know. Maybe y'all can help me with the spirit of the code, the intent of the code with it, but my understanding is it has to do with obscuring the house, like it having such a tall fence is obscuring the house significantly. It does at least slope down toward the road, so it's not obscuring as if it were level with the house, but anyway, that's a comment.
Yeah.
I don't know if it helps us achieve a hardship.
But. I'm just not seeing a hardship with this.
And they could still do a 42 inch fence up there if they wanted to. Right.
Right. So a 42 inch is permitted there. There are chain links, not always desirable, but there's an unlimited height for an open fence.
Right.
If you want to propose, or maybe you can contact the folks, your fence folks, and they might have some other ideas. There's some transparency. Josh, is it still 50% transparency for visibility? So if it's a slatted fence, I mean, there are different options that perhaps they could propose, but just not a 6-foot privacy fence. But unlimited for an open fence.
I asked the fence company what we could do to correct this, mm-hmm. and they said that if they removed if they cut every other board down to the 42, mm-hmm. it would still be hard for the dogs to jump. Would that be something that they could do, or would that?
Are you saying that the height of the fence would be 42 inches or less?
No, one would be 70, the next one would be 40, just staggered is what I'm trying to say.
Semi-transparent.
So that it would
above 42.
Oh. That would be an answer. 42. That'd be a question for our...
I think that's still...
And Scott, you were saying the transparency of 50%? Is that...
Right, and that might be a suggestion she brings to us, mm-hmm. but it really wouldn't be for this board.
Sure.
Here. Yeah, so... If you want to come back and talk to us or have your sign folks reach out to us, we'd be happy to work with a design.
I would have considered, personally, I would have considered a partial, some variance on this because I feel like your street creates a little bit more of a front yard than it's normal for a house the size.
Yeah.
But what you've built is pretty in the face of all that. So it's hard for me to get behind saying yes to what you built here, even under my logic that you've got this two front yard sort of practical scenario, even though what Scott says is exactly right, there isn't two front yards here because you don't, it's a curved road. Mm-hmm. So this is just it's a 90 degree curve, which is very curved. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I'm having a hard time. There's no real variant. There's no real hardship here. We have hardship for us as a burden on geographical, mostly based part thing, two front yards, or you have topography issues with your property, or a sinkhole, or a unique size or shape, or some portion of your property is unusable for some reason, easements, and there's other legal reasons sometimes we consider. But generally, all geographic land based things that we can say yes to here, And so, you know, when we're talking about hardship, there's not really something here that we can nail to and say, yeah, that creates the reason for your 6-foot tall fence. That makes sense.
Not so, really, because it seems to me that that would be 2 front yards. Is that you saying that it's not?
It's not. Or? That's what we're saying. 2 front yards How? Is when you have 2 roads meeting and there's a T. There's actually an intersection.
Oh, okay. I see.
And you front 2 separate streets. Mm-hmm. This does not front 2 separate streets. It's just an extremely curved street.
Okay. I didn't realize right. that
there's
that's
a
how.
Difference. The only thing I'm saying is in my mind, when I look at this, there's a slight qualification to that in my mind in that it's a very curved street.
Well, and the way the house is oriented too, it's right. oriented as mm-hmm. if it's a corner, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's oriented, it's built like it's a corner. It functions yeah. like a corner, it's not a corner. So to say mm-hmm. technically we have 2 front yards, it's not accurate. We don't.
Okay.
It is 1 front yard. And so what the zoning department has given you is exactly right. And there's not really a hardship for that. So we'd encourage you to address it another way and to pull the fence back or do whatever's needed to meet code.
I tend to agree with you, Daniel. I think if the fence were more like off the back of the house, you know, more in the backyard as it relates to the house.
Right.
I think I could see where there could be some variance there, but the fact that it extends all the way yeah. around most of the front yard is fence
there, and it's affecting the aesthetic pretty significantly.
It's out of character with the rest of the houses in the neighborhood.
Right. So, okay. And I don't mean to, I'm giving you that just so you know, and you can work with the code department, but that, you know, I'm just letting you know.
So would my suggestion of possibly staggering it, like we said, work yeah. to keep it there?
You have to bring that up with
right. That's the question. City staff. That's what I'm trying to say is that you have to work that out with them.
Well, when I initially called, they said they didn't see any problem with a variance being allowed for it. So to go ahead with everything, but I didn't understand the curve not being
well. There's
what
no,
you're saying. And all
there's no problem with you making a variance request ever. You have okay. a right to do that as a citizen.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you have a right to say no.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion. We deny item 10-B-21-VA based on lack of hardship.
I will second that motion. We have a motion and a second to deny 10-B-21-VA for lack of hardship.
Any real quick comment? Before we vote, is that something if they did want to come back to us? After meeting with codes, would it be helpful for us to say we're denying without prejudice, just to give the opportunity if you were to come back with a different scheme?
They can come back with a different design. And
yeah, either way, okay. I just want to make sure based on our last yeah. discussion,
no,
leave that door open. But anyway, I'll leave my motion is.
Okay, we have a motion and second to deny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing none. Motion is denied. I'm sorry about that.
But okay. So then we
yep.
go back to you again. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you for hearing us at the end too.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm hoping I'm battery in my mic.